hear the word of God from Luke chapter 17 as Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of God is here among us. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will the people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very proud of you for getting here this morning. Can we just say we got here? Isn't that awesome? My name's Cam. I'm very happy, excited to be here. For everyone at home in your pajamas sipping hot cocoa, we are jealous of you. So we salute you. But I'm really, really excited to be here. I was here almost a year ago. Isn't that crazy? I can't believe it. But a year ago, my son had just been born, and I can't believe it's been almost a year since then, and I want to show you guys a picture of my family. Here? Aww. This is my son. He just had his first birthday. I just want you to know, this is Elliot, and this is my wife, Molly, and they're sitting at home, and we say hi. But I just wanted you to show, this is a little bit of who I am. He's a year old now, but I'm really, really excited to be here. I don't get to see a lot of you very often. But if you don't know me, my name's Cam again, and I'm the pastor at Faith United Methodist Church, which is down on Veterans Memorial, a little bit on the other side of town. And I've had the opportunity to be around Broadway and a part of Broadway staff for 3 years. And I just want to say as I begin this morning, I love this church. I'm so thankful for this church because of the support personally you guys have given me and the support you've given the congregation at Faith. So much of the new life that we've been experiencing has been because of your love. So I just want to say thank you. You can clap. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. I love this church. I want to give an example of this that I saw this recently. So over Christmas break, one of our children's ministry volunteers had this idea, and she said, "I think we should take our kids ice skating." And we were in a group, and she says this, and I thought, that sounds like a horrible idea. I don't want to do that. But I didn't say anything, and so we said, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to take our kids ice skating. And if you don't know a lot about our congregation, most of our kids, almost the majority of our kids are children of refugees, and most of them are from the Congo. And so as you can imagine, ice skating is not very popular in the Congo. And I thought, this is going to, you know, I was just, okay, let's do it. So we go, we get the kids, and we take 33 kids from, you know, elementary to high school. We take 33 to the ice skating rink, and we had enough volunteers. But when we get there, for whatever reason, they start getting the skates, and somehow I end up on the other side of the skates as the only chaperone adult. So I'm sitting in that area with like 12 kids around me. All the other adults are on the other side, and I have no idea how to put the skates on, okay? Because I couldn't get my own skates on. So I'm sitting, I'm shoving feet into skates, and I can't do it, I can't figure it out. I'm surrounded by 10 kids, and this woman comes up to me, and she says, "Do you need help?" And I look at her and I say, "Yeah, I do." Start helping me. So she starts and jumps in and she gets the skates on and we get it, all the kids ready, and they actually had an awesome time. Okay, they had a wonderful time. I have a picture, I think, that we can show of the kids. These are our kids on the left, and apparently I had to use the crates. I don't remember that picture being taken, but apparently I had to use the crates. Does anybody else have to use the crates when you're at the ice skating rink? Am I by myself? I'm really, yes, I am. Why am I telling you that story? Later, as I was skating around, the kids are having an awesome time. I'm holding on to the edge, going very slowly, and I see this woman that helped me earlier, and she starts talking to me, and she says, you know, are you all a church group? And I say, yes, we're from Faith UMC. We've brought our kids. And she says, I'm a member of Broadway. And I thought, of course you are. I was like, of course you are, because you're stepping in, and you're helping, you're seeing what God's doing, and you're saying, can I be a part of this? Can I step in? Can I be a part of something good that's happening? I love that about this church, because you say, how can we step in on what God's already doing? That's an exciting thing to see. I've seen the kingdom breaking out here at Broadway. I've seen the kingdom breaking out at Faith. I've seen it happening in Bowling Green in ways that I did not expect. When I came to Bowling Green, I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was just a smaller, I'm from Louisville. I thought it was a smaller town, college town. But when I came here, I saw so much happening that got me so excited. God's up to stuff in Bowling Green, and I think he wants us to be a part of it. So I'm really, really excited about what we're doing at Broadway and at Faith. I'm part of the teaching team, so we kind of do the same sermon series, and we're starting this year together with all of you about figuring out what the kingdom of God is. And I'm so excited about it, because I think if we can figure out how to enter into this kingdom mode, then God can really change our city right here in Bowling Green. We can see something happen that's new and beautiful. So I'm really excited. But I think as we get into this year, what we need to ask is a really important question, but it's a really simple question. It's one I want all of us to think about. And the question is, what are we expecting God to do in our life? What are we expecting? What are you expecting God to do in your life, in your church, in your community? It's a simple question, but this is such an important question, because our expectations are gonna shape our reality. Did anybody expect this morning, have a certain expectation that did not get met? Mine was, I thought I was gonna get up really early and have to do three sermons in a row, and it ended up being really different. My expectations were wrong, but our expectations will shape our reality. So what are we expecting God to do? Where are we expecting God to show up? What's our hope? What's the hope that animates our life? To help us think about this, when you're having someone over for your house, when you've invited someone over, what do? You start getting ready. Some of us start getting really anxious, and we start getting mad at our other family members because we have to get everything really clean and ready. But if someone's coming, I know some guys out there know what I'm talking about. But if someone's coming over, you get ready for them. You clean the house. You maybe make some food. You make things look right. You get your house in order. You're expecting a friend, and so your life changes because of what you expect to happen. And this is true for so much in our life. What we're expecting changes our reality. It changes our life. This happens to us, I think, with God. What we expect of God will change what we actually see happen in our faith. And so my question is, are we expecting God to actually show up? Are we really expecting the kingdom to come? When we pray those words in the Lord's Prayer, when we say, your kingdom come, do we really think it's gonna happen? Or are those just some words we say in an old prayer? What are we expecting God to actually do? And so here's my concern. My concern is that a lot of us have settled for a faith that might be a little bit too small. I think a lot of us might have settled for a faith that might be just a little bit too small. And here's why I think that happens. I think sometimes when we have high expectations of people in our life, maybe friends or family, mom and dad, our marriage, sometimes we have these high expectations and then suddenly they're not met. Suddenly those expectations, you know, we're let down, and then we're let down again, and suddenly we settle for less. And we think, I really shouldn't expect too much of this relationship. I think sometimes for some of us, this happens with God, because our life did not turn out the way we expected it to. And we're afraid to expect too much of God because we think if we have these high expectations, then we'll be let down again. And so my concern is that some of us, we settle for less. We think God's not really gonna do that much in our life. The kingdom's not really gonna come. And we settle for a faith that's too small. And so that leads us to a question, is God, really, what should we expect? What are you going to do? When and where should we expect you to show up in our life? Because a lot of times what we hear about in the Bible, what we hear about in church, this peace we're supposed to feel, this kingdom we're supposed to see, it's not matching our experience. And so we say, God, what should we expect? When are you going to show up? In our scripture today, there's this group of people called the Pharisees, and they're wrestling with this same question. You see, what's going on in Luke chapter 17? Jesus is in the middle of his ministry. So he's been healing people. He just healed 10 lepers. He's been doing a bunch of crazy miracles, and he's been teaching about the kingdom of God. And he's just talked about a couple stories you might remember, the story of the prodigal son, the story of the good Samaritan, these stories of hope and redemption. And everyone around is probably thinking, this kingdom of God sounds awesome, but when's it going to happen? So the Pharisees, I kind of have a heart for, because they were people that were more head people than heart people. And you know that one person in a meeting when everyone's getting excited about an idea, and then there's that one person that raises their hands and's like, hold on, how is this really going to work? I love those kind of people, because I'm kind of that way too. But the Pharisees are that way, and they're saying, Jesus, this sounds awesome, but when is this going to happen? Because we're still being oppressed by Rome. We still don't have enough food. We still can't practice our faith openly. So this sounds great. What's the timeline? What's the plan? This is what Jesus says. He says, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying that so often we're asking God, when is this going to happen? When is my life going to look like how I want it to look? When will the hope of heaven actually be real? Do we have to wait until we die to go to heaven? Do we have to wait until we're dead to get the reality of the hope that Jesus is talking about? And so often we're saying, when is this going to happen? But Jesus is trying to get us to say and ask, where? Where is the kingdom going to come? Not when. Don't put it off far in the future, but he's saying you need to be asking, where is the kingdom of God going to come? Because it's in your midst. It's within you. It's right in front of you if you could see it. I like thinking about it that way, because I think that puts us in the mode to see where God is. One scholar named N.T. Wright, I'm not related to him. I wish I was, because he's really smart. But he writes about this little phrase of Jesus, and this is what he says. He says, the kingdom of God is in your midst. This phrase is more active. It doesn't just tell you where the kingdom is. It tells you what you've got to do, that you've got to do something about it. It's within your grasp. It's confronting you with the decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus. It isn't the sort of thing that's just going to happen so you could sit back and watch. Wouldn't it be nice if it was? If we could just sit in our pajamas and sip our hot cocoa? No offense to the people at home. But we can't just sit back and watch, he's saying. God's sovereign plan to put the world to rights is waiting for you to sign on. Man, the kingdom of God is in your grasp. Jesus is saying there is something new and beautiful and hopeful right here in front of you. If you could just reach out and see it and touch it and trust it and enter into it, it's right here. What I think Jesus is trying to do is raise our expectations for what God's going to do in our life. He wants us to really expect God to show up. There's an Old Testament story that I think helps us think about what Jesus is saying. You remember Jacob? You remember he had just tricked his brother. He's on the run because Esau's going to try and kill him. And he's running away, and he falls asleep in a field. You remember the story? And in his dream, he looks up and he sees a stairway or a ladder coming from heaven. And he's seeing angels coming up and down from heaven. And he's amazed by this. And he thinks, oh, I'm seeing something that's, you know, I don't even know what I'm seeing. It's one of these awe-inspiring visions in his dream. And God comes to him and gives him a promise that says, through you, Jacob, everyone's going to be blessed. You remember this? What I want to focus on is what happens when he wakes up. Jacob wakes from up from this dream, and this is what he says. He says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. You see what happens in that story? Jacob was in one place and suddenly he wakes up and realizes God was here and I didn't even know it. God showed up and I wasn't ready for it. I think that's what the kingdom of God is like. And one of the privileges and good things about being a pastor is that we so often get to look out and see all these amazing things that are happening in people's lives. And we have this great perspective to know that God is showing up all the time in every person's life, in every event, in every circumstance. God is working. God's grace is moving. And it's so cool. Sometimes if you're not in our perspective, you can't see it, but God's showing up. So what we did here at church, we asked some of our staff to share a couple stories of where they've seen God showing up. And so I want to play this video for you to just show you how God is on the move in our midst. So let's watch this real quick.
One of the ways that I've seen the kingdom lived out throughout our congregation at the Greenwood campus is through the simple ask of an invite. We've had families who have invited kiddos from their kids' classrooms to come to church, and they keep coming. They received their Bible. They were a part of our Christmas program. And then we've had them bring mentees to things such as Trunk or Treat or to the Easter celebration at the Foundry.
So when I think about the kingdom of God, I think about beautiful pictures of people doing beautiful things and ways that they serve people. For example, I think about a family of ours at the Greenwood campus who has a young son who's about 6, and this family comes together during the week to create a warm environment, a safe space for our homeless community and how they come and serve those folks. And that, to me, is a great picture of what the kingdom of God looks like.
As I was thinking about the series we're currently in, The Kingdom of God, and in thinking about what the kingdom is like to me, of course, I always think of the words of Jesus, and one of the ways that he talks about the kingdom is that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. And I love that image because it's something small. I think for a lot of us, we want to see the kingdom, we want to participate in it, we want to be part of it, because we want to be part of sharing God's love with all people. But sometimes that can get a little overwhelming and intimidating because we feel like we need to do something big. We feel like we need to go somewhere special or do something special that maybe we can't quite come up with what that is. So here's a little mustard seed idea that I actually learned from a friend of mine. Next time you're at the grocery store and you're in line, ask the clerk that you're struggling, that you would like to buy a candy bar and you're just not really sure which one you're in the mood for, you know, what's their favorite, just because you just can't decide. And then they'll tell you, you know, they love Snickers, you should get a Snickers bar. So buy yourself a Snickers bar and them one as well, and just leave it with them and say, this one's for you. And it's just such a great practical way, brightens their day, is an easy way to share the love of Christ and plant that mustard seed that you just don't know where that might take them, just in showing a little kindness in your everyday, because you're going to the grocery store anyway. So just a thought I wanted to share with you all, an easy way to share the love of Christ.
Some of our staff, if you ask any of our staff, I bet you they each could have 10, 20, 30 stories of ways they see God's kingdom breaking out in their ministry in this church. And I don't know if you could hear all of that, but people working at Hotel Inc., people showing up for each other, caring for families, just those simple, small, everyday things. God's showing up. The kingdom's breaking out. But we have to be able to recognize that. I feel so fortunate, like I said, that being a pastor, I feel like I get to see the kingdom break out every Sunday at my congregation in ways that I could never have expected, but in ways that really excites me. But one of my favorite parts of our worship that we do every Sunday is we sing the doxology, like we sang today, the praise God from whom all blessings flow. You know that song, right? We sing it every Sunday at Faith, and I love singing it because what I get to do every Sunday, I get to stand kind of like where I am now and look out, and I feel like I see heaven breaking out on earth, and it's incredible. And I want to share some of what I get to see when I'm hearing this song as we're all joining together in worship. What I get to see is I look to my left, And I see a woman named Martha. And I asked Martha if I could share this, and she said she'd love for me to share this. But I look to my left, and I see Martha. And Martha usually isn't able to stand for that song. But Martha was one of the first families at our church to welcome in a refugee family. So, and the story is amazing because Martha told me that when she was young, in her 20s, she felt a calling from God to be a missionary. And God said, I want you to go to Africa and spread the gospel. And Martha said, I don't want to. She said, I'm not going to do it. But 50 years later, listen to this, 50 years later, a family shows up at Faith looking for a safe place to worship. And Martha and her husband welcomed this family in and said, you have a place here. And they poured their heart and their love, and consistently they drove this family to church every week. And they still often do that. They did this every week. And here's what happened. Because of that hospitality shown to that one family, the Church of Faith, when I got there, we had 6 kids, I think, maybe 5 or 6. And we counted this Monday, and now we're serving over 60 kids. And almost all of them are refugee children. But where did it start? It started with one lady named Martha, who 50 years later answered the call of God and said, yes, I will be loving. I will accept this calling to be a missionary. I will live it out. And that hospitality led from 6 to 60, one family to like 7 or 8, maybe 6, 7, 8 families, all these kids that were serving. And that family had a baby around the same time that me and Molly did. Guess who they named the baby after? Little Martha. Little Martha. And that's the kingdom of God breaking out, and I get to see her singing, joining the chorus, joining her song, her part to the words of the great song that the Spirit's leading us in. I get to look out, and I see John, probably sitting right over there. Mr. John and his wife, Tina, they drive the church van every week. Sometimes other people fill in for them, but they drive the church van every week. I think now they're making 3 trips. Usually 2, but sometimes it's 3 trips, consistently giving their time before and after worship so that people who don't have cars and transportation can have a place to be known and loved and a place to worship. And they mentored this one family that we love at Faith, and that family just had a baby, and guess who they named their little son after? Mr. John. And I call the baby Mr. John, because that's what they call Mr. John. But they named him Mr. John. And I get to see, oh my, that's heaven breaking out on earth. That's the kingdom breaking out on earth. I look to my very right, and I see Pastor Chunga. Pastor Chunga leads our Burmese service. They're Mizo. They lead the Mizo service at one that's a part of our congregation at Faith. 13 years ago, Pastor Chunga and his family went to Faith, and they started walking around the building praying, kind of like Joshua and Jericho, I think. But they start walking around the building praying every day. And one day the pastor goes up to him, and that was at Faith at the time, goes up to him and says, what are you all doing? And they say, we're praying for a place to worship. And he said, you can pray inside. You can come inside. And they've been praying and worshiping as a part of our congregation ever since. And there he is singing, contributing his voice to the song. I can look to right about here, and I see Rahani and his wife Riziki. And Rahani is from the Congo, but he spent several years in Tanzania at the refugee camp, where he served as a United Methodist pastor in Tanzania. And so last Sunday, I think this is really cool. Last Sunday, they joined our church as transfer members from the United Methodist Church of Tanzania. Isn't that amazing? So they're members now, but they were already members of our church. We're just saying you're now a part of, we're just changing the roles from Tanzania to Bowling Green. And that Sunday we baptized his kids that were not baptized yet, all 8 of them. Isn't that awesome? And what we got to do is as they went in the waters, I was able to have these kids and show them the congregation and say, every single one of these people has promised to love you, has promised to nurture you, has promised to raise you up in the faith so that the yes that God has spoken into your life, you can one day say yes to God with how you live your life. Every one of these people has promised to do that. That's the kingdom of heaven breaking out on earth. And I get to see it every Sunday as we sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. I see janitors, I see farmers, I see teachers, I see an ex-con, alcoholics, I see students, single moms, I see I see black people, white people, brown people, people who don't speak English, people who kind of do because we're from Bowling Green, people who from different places, people from different cultures coming together, all mouthing the same words, saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. You know what we're saying when we say that? We're saying we're joining the angels in heaven. The Spirit's bringing us together. What I think's cool is when I look out at you, I see the same thing. I see people that God is longing to be a part of your life. God is longing for you to open your eyes and see that his kingdom is not far off. We don't pray, God, kill us all now so we can go to heaven. Did anybody pray that? No, right? We pray, God, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're saying, God, we want to know what heaven's like. We want to experience it. We want to live it out. We want to build for your kingdom. We want to be a part of this redemption movement. God's dream is not to take us away from earth. God's dream is to redeem the earth. God's dream is to heal the earth and to heal every single one of us so that we can know a little bit of heaven. Now, I believe in heaven, y'all. I'm not saying that. But I don't want to wait until I'm dead to see heaven breaking out. You hear what I'm saying? God wants heaven breaking out here on earth, and that's what the kingdom is. The kingdom of God is not something that's far away. It's in your midst. It's within your grasp. And I think Jesus says that to us because he doesn't want us to miss it. Frederick Buechner says this. He says, if we only had eyes to see and ears to hear and wits to understand, we would know that the kingdom of God in the sense of holiness, goodness, beauty is as close as breathing and is crying out to be born within ourselves and within the world. We would know that the kingdom of God is what we all of us hunger for above all other things, even when we don't know its name or realize what we're starving to death for. The kingdom of God is where our best dreams come from and our truest prayers. We glimpse it at those moments when we find ourselves being better than we are and wiser than we know. We catch sight of it when at some moment of crisis, a strength seems to come to us that is greater than our own strength. The kingdom of God is where we belong. It is home. It's home, and we're all homesick for it. This year, Jesus wants us to raise our expectations. He wants the kingdom to break out in our midst, in each and every one of us. And my prayer is that we don't miss it. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we long to have eyes for your kingdom. We long to be your people. We long to be people with open arms. So often we fail to even know what's going on in our own life. But Lord, we pray that this year, as we think about the kingdom, as we enter the kingdom, we pray that we could trust you enough, that we could trust you enough to enter in and to take hold of that kingdom that's right within our grasp. We love you, God. Thank you for giving us the grace to do things that we don't even think are possible. Lord, we pray you would give us the power of your resurrection so that we could be people of life and hope in a world that so dearly needs it. We pray this in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.